It's Lake Effect Weekend from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us. News of suspended brewer Ryan Braun's apology dominated much of the local news this week. We'll be talking about it more in the next few days on the show. But other issues came up as well, including high scores for Wisconsin for ACT results, additional train service to and from Chicago, and a significant increase in police officers in the city's 2014 budget. Joining me to parse the details is Lake Effect Weekend's news analyst Bruce Murphy. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Bonnie.
How are you doing?
Good.
And lots to talk about this week, beginning with the issue of more police for Milwaukee. It was a hot topic. Mayor Tom Barrett announced his 2014 budget would increase the number of officers by 100, and two Republican legislators also toured a crime-troubled neighborhood in response to the issue. So beginning with the budget, how important is this proposal?
Well, Barrett says his budget would also absorb the cost of 50 officers that were getting paid for with federal stimulus funding, which has expired. So this is actually a total of 150 additional officers paid for by city taxpayers. And that's about 8% of a police force of about 1,800 or so. Might sound relatively minor, but really for a city that has been cutting costs and has faced declining state share revenue for more than a decade, it's a pretty major commitment.
Barrett said he wasn't doing this because of the recent highly publicized string of shootings here in the city. Do you believe that?
No. You know, this is a mayor with a very sensitive radar for public opinion, and a crime wave, even if it's temporary, immediately raises the issue of what's being done about it. And the other issue is that the police department had to spend $500,000 on police overtime in response to the shootings, and it's much cheaper to pay regularly hourly pay to officers if you have more officers available.
Well, in the meantime, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and State Senator Alberta Darling toured the South Side neighborhood of Alderman Bob Donovan and expressed their concern about crime. Do you think that's likely to lead to any help for the city?
Apparently not. Barrett had asked the state to consider providing some funding to Milwaukee for police officers, but both Darling and Voss shot this idea down.
Well, what did they offer instead?
They didn't really offer much of a solution. Darling said that people wouldn't support the state just, quote, throwing money at the problem. Voss offered no suggestions, really. And, of course, Governor Scott Walker had previously said the state wouldn't ship in any money. So what's going on here is really just a lot of political jousting. Barrett put the Republicans on the spot by asking for funding to get tough on crime, and Republicans in turn toured the city to show they do care but can't give special help to one city.
Well, Alderman Mike Murphy said the problem could be addressed if the state extended the Act 10 restrictions on collective bargaining to the police and to firefighters. What impact would that have?
It'd have a lot of impact because police and firefighter pay and benefits accounts for the majority of the city budget. And giving the city more flexibility on that could save a lot of money.
Well, what has been the response to that particular proposal?
Governor Walker initially, interestingly, said that it might make sense to do this, and then he quickly backed off. You know, the police and fire unions have been major supporters of Walker and the Republicans, so I don't think there's much chance of them backing down and cracking down on those unions, meaning Milwaukee will have to find its own way to support an increase in the number of officers.
Well, in the world of education this week, we learned that Wisconsin ranked tied for second with Iowa in the average ACT test scores for students in 2013 with a 22.1 score. Minnesota scored first with an average score of 23. Is the result a surprise?
Not really. Wisconsin has ranked near the top going back 20 years or more.
So does it mean that other than those folks in Minnesota that Wisconsin is a superior state educationally? Like the pun there, by the way, Bruce.
Unfortunately, Wisconsin's score may not be as impressive as it looks, because besides the average score, the other data point is what percentage of students in the state actually take the test. Because, you know, the bigger the pool of test takers, the more likely the average score will decline. So right now in Wisconsin, 71% of students in the state take the test. That's much higher than the national average of 54%. But there are some 20 states where more than 71% of students take the test, and that includes those smarty pants in Minnesota.
So maybe we're not doing quite as well as we think?
Probably not. There are states like Louisiana and Illinois who have greatly increased the percent of students taking the test, and the average score went down. In Wisconsin, as of the 2014-2015 school year, all high schools will administer the ACT test as part of the statewide testing program.
Do you expect other states to pass Wisconsin on the ACT when that happens?
I think that's likely, but how many? There's just no way to know. We won't know until we get to 100% of the students. But I think it's a cinch we won't be tied for second.
We'll see what happens. We'll be talking about it again, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, this week, the State Department of Transportation announced it was adding three more express trains on the Amtrak line from Milwaukee to Chicago. Good news for commuters going that way, but why the increase?
It's really a sign of the line's popularity. Ridership has doubled in the last decade. And on some trains, apparently, it's standing room only. So the state will increase the number of daily trips from 7 to 10. And these three additional lines will be express only, so they'll stop only at the Mitchell Airport and going toward Chicago. And this will decrease the travel time by 11 minutes, so it'll also be a faster train, which could make it more popular.
Well, Amtrak's also studying adding a second daily train for the route from Chicago to Milwaukee to the Twin Cities, and Minnesota is pursuing a project to create a high-speed rail line from Chicago to the Twin Cities. What is this telling us about train travel? It seems like it's getting more popular.
Yes, it's definitely on the increase. And it's interesting, when you look at the Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, Twin Cities corridor, that's really the second most important in the nation, next to the East Coast, with New York, Washington, D.C., and Boston. I mean, a far ways below that, but still an important corridor for train travel. And I think anything that connects Milwaukee to bigger metro areas like Chicago and Twin Cities inevitably helps us economically.
Well, the fact that this increase in lines to Chicago is being pursued by the state under Scott Walker, is that a surprise?
Well, it is interesting, but, you know, Walker always supported the Chicago to Milwaukee line, even as he opposed the high-speed rail from Milwaukee to Madison to Twin Cities. So he's actually being consistent, but still, I think many people would find it ironic to see him, of all people, increasing trains.
When do the three new trips to Chicago start? Have they started?
They have not started. It's not clear just how soon, but I'm assuming certainly by next year.
Okay. Well, this week we had two departures. Milwaukee Public Museum President Jay Williams announced he's going to retire. Is this a loss for the city?
Well, he will stay on as board chair, so that should make for a good transition in seeking a new president. And Williams, who was a former banker, was able to put the museum in a better position financially by renegotiating its debt, convincing two banks to write off $11 million. So that was critical, and that's left the institution in better shape than he found it, although it will still face big challenges for the next director.
So what are some of the challenges going forward that the next president, whoever it is, will have to take on?
Well, I think the two biggest are they really need to build their endowment, which is pretty small, particularly compared to other natural history museums nationally. And, you know, there's still the question of are they getting enough earned income? You know, they've tried these big touring national shows, and that just continues to be an issue. So both on the earned side and the donated side, they need to make improvements.
Have numbers gone up in terms of attendance?
You know, they've gone up and they've gone down. They've kind of varied. It really, it's very much driven by the particular show you're talking about.
Well, the other departure that we're going to talk about this week was much sadder. It was the death of Filiberto Murgia, who was 82 and had served for 33 years as head of the Council for the Spanish, or Centro Hispano. What was his impact?
Quite significant. He was one of the Hispanic pioneers in the city, really. And the agency he ran was the oldest Latino social service group. I think it started pretty small with classes teaching English and then began to expand, added a Head Start program for kids, an alternative high school, GED classes, and other programs. He was, I met him once, interviewed him. He was a really good guy, a strong leader, but pretty low-key about it. He will definitely be missed.
And the organization that he left behind is in good hands?
It's in good hands, very solid, and certainly he leaves a legacy behind in that respect.
Well, Bruce Murphy, as always, thanks so much for chatting with us this week, and we'll catch you next weekend.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot, Bonnie.
Bruce Murphy is the editor and chief columnist for the online daily UrbanMilwaukee.com, and he's also Lake Effect Weekend's regular news analyst. Coming up next, we'll have the latest update in the cable wars when Lake Effect Weekend continues. You're listening to Milwaukee Public Radio.